please turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 5. As we ponder upon this topic, the healing Savior. Today is Good Friday. And traditionally, on this day, we have the observation of the Lord's Supper. And when this message was planned, when this title was given to be placed on the website, it was with this in mind, that the congregation should gather and that we would come partaking of the Lord's Supper in faith. And at the same time, consider how by the stripes of our Savior we are healed. But these are not ordinary times. These are troublous times which are permitted by the Lord. And so today, as we come and to have this worship service before the Lord, we are not able to observe the Lord's Supper with everybody, right, gathered, right, physically. And so, we must understand why the Lord has allowed all these things to happen. When the Lord permits all these troubles to come into the world, it is always with a purpose. And we who are called Christians, we must not be blind to the message which the Lord is showing unto us. Perhaps we have taken a lot of things for granted when we come to meet with one another. And though the Lord has availed us to all these means of grace, yet we did not appreciate it. We have taken all these things for granted. And so now the Lord found it pleasing for a moment of time to remove it from us, so that with this removal we may ponder, oh, actually all these things that we used to have is by the grace of God, and it's a great privilege that the Lord has given to us for our sake. And that next time, should the Lord find it pleasing by His mercies to allow us to gather again, well, we will not take all these things for granted. So it is a bit like how in the Hebrew scriptures, you know, sometimes you will find there are certain verses where there are italics. And when you see some verses where, you know, the words are in italics, it means that the words are actually not there. Yet, why did the Hebrew, why did the translators of the King James version put those words there? Well, because those words, though they are absent, yet they are actually implied. In other words, the mind of the Jew would be anticipating all these words to be there, and yet they are not there. And all these things are purposely done in order to emphasize to the Jews the importance of those words in italics. So therefore, right, when you read the Bible and sometimes you come across those words in italics, please do not ignore those words, right? They are there for a reason, and sometimes those words in italics may even be an emphasis. It's purposely kept silent, right? Silence speaks louder than words. And so now, this Good Friday, we are not able to observe the Lord's Supper physically together as God's people like usual. Well, I hope that this silence will also speak louder than words, that we will strongly consider what we are doing every time we come to meet with the Lord at the Lord's Supper. Of course, we are very thankful that before this whole measures are imposed upon the church, whereby we are not able to meet physically, well, we were actually given the opportunity to have the Lord's Supper. In fact, there were many churches, and especially those churches who are larger, they were not able to meet. They had to shut down their services earlier, and they were the first, right, to bring their services online. And they had to do so before they have their Lord's Supper. And so some of the churches, they actually go through quite a long period already without having the Lord's Supper. For us, well, we are very thankful that just before we actually have our online services, we had the privilege to at least partake of the Lord's Supper once. And so therefore, we have made the decision, that for this Good Friday, due to this circuit breaker measures, that we will not have the observation of the Lord's Supper in this particular service, right? Because we had one just not too long ago. But how long will these measures last? Well, we do not know. And if this continues on, then it is not good for God's people not to be able to participate in the Lord's Supper. And so, this is something that we will have to consider if this circuit breaker measures are extended. Or we do not know, because a lot depends on, firstly, how careful Singaporeans are in observing these measures. And even if Singaporeans are careful in observing these measures, a lot will also depend on how this COVID-19 situation will evolve. If it does not get better, then or if it gets better but not fast enough, then we will probably find the circuit breaker measures extended. Then we may have to think of how to proceed further, especially with the Lord's Supper. But at the same time, we have, as pastor, I've consciously also considered this issue and thought that we also must be very careful when it comes to the observing of the Lord's Supper. Why? Right? Because when we talk about the Lord's Supper, it is a sacrament. Right? So we must be very, very careful in the observation of the Lord's Supper. And so I'm aware, right, that there are churches, and these are usually churches who were not able to have the Lord's Supper, right, just before the circuit breaker measures, right, and because they did not have it for a length of time. Some already did not have it for almost about 1.5 months. And so they are anxious to have the Lord's Supper, which is good, right, just like I believe, right, some of you are, right. You are anxious to participate in the Lord's Supper, and that is good. Right? In fact, there was even one question that was asked in one of the WhatsApp channel: how are we going to observe the Lord's Supper? And I'm thankful for such a question, because it shows that at least, right, there is this great desire for us who are Christians, us who are believers, to want to partake of this sacrament. Nevertheless, we must be very, very careful before we adopt any measures such as telecommunications, right, to have the Lord's Supper for this reason. And the reason is this, right, because the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, and as a sacrament, it is an ordinance that is instituted by the Lord. It is both is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace, which the Lord has with us. And because there is blessings to be appropriated through this supper, and that is also a spiritual exercise, we must also understand that should we abuse the Lord's Supper, should we have any conducting of the Lord's Supper without proper understanding of the meaning and significance of the Lord's Supper, then we would be inviting judgment and condemnation upon ourselves. And this truth you can read right in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, whereby the Corinthian Christians, they were not careful, they were careless with the observation of the Lord's Supper. And what happened? Well, because they continued in their abuse of the sacrament, the message of the death of Christ is lost, was lost, and so the Lord found it pleasing that to take right, some of the Corinthian Christians home. And we do not want that to happen. Right? We do not want to have that to happen among us. So we want to be very, very careful, you know, with regards to this. And of course, right, if there is telecommunications with you know, with regards to the Lord's Supper, you know, whereby the pastor would do his usual pronouncement, right, for the bread and the cup, it can lead to other issues, right? Beside that, yes, further implications. Like, for example, how would this be the way it's going to be conducted next time with respect to missions, whereby there is no ordained minister elsewhere? Well, I would think that there should be no substitute of the pastor physically going down, right, to visit any place and to conduct the Lord's Supper. I think it is important for us to understand that this is a temporary measure, that once things are back to normal, we would want all together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Right? This is only a temporary measure. If any church adopts it, it's only a temporary measure. And I believe those churches who adopt it, including maybe one or two of our sister churches, right, that the pastors of those churches, they actually took very great pains to explain this to their congregation. But it is a temporary measure. And that as we partake of it, we must make sure that we understand the meaning and significance of the Lord's Supper. Right? There must be no abuse of the Lord's Supper. Because if all these things are not explained, it may lead to a situation whereby churches right begins selling Lord's Supper kits right to the congregation, and that members right or Christians become so used to just eating the Lord's Supper on their own right, without proper understanding, and that the pastor is not present and they just eat on their own, and they partake of the Lord's Supper at home at their own pleasure, to use the Singaporean expression, right? They will say, oh, I eat the Lord's Supper, own time, own target, carry on. And that would be no good, because we already have such practices in Christendom. And there are churches who sell all these kits, and then they will say that, oh, if you eat all these kits at home, you would, as often as you can, you would bring spiritual blessings upon yourself. And not only just that, but they claim that, well, you can experience healing, physical healing. So they actually sell right, these kits right, to Christians, and they say that, oh, if you have this illness, maybe cancer, maybe a leg that is oftentimes in pain, or you have gout, frequent gout, you have frequent arthritis, you have frequent migraines, and some of us have all these afflictions. You say, oh, if you eat of all these things, you will be well. Well, how I wish that to be true. You know, sometimes I suffer from certain migraines. How I hope that, oh, if I take this myself, oh, I do a own pronouncement, pastor anyhow declares, just take of it and then he drinks and then, oh, straight away the headache will be gone. And I think those who are suffering from cancer, they probably wish that this will also be true. Oh, I just take off the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, and I eat, and then after that I physically will be healed. Well, we know that that is not true. So we must be very, very careful. And so right, let me now right, look at this passage, and by the grace of God, we would want to understand exactly what it means when the Lord says, by his stripes we are healed. What exactly does it mean when we call our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the healing Savior? And by this, right, we hope that we will better understand what happens at the Lord's Supper. So much so that, you know, when we partake of the Lord's Supper next time, should it come to the time whereby we must eat of the Lord's Supper during the circuit breaker measures, I pray that every one of us will do it with good understanding. And what better way to do it, you know, than Good Friday, right? To hold this instruction, this explanation here on Good Friday. Because the Lord's Supper, firstly, is supposed to be a supper that what? That commemorates, right? Commemorates the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is what Good Friday is all about. And so down here, we read in verses 4 to 5, right? God's word saying, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So the question then is this: what kind of healing is verses 4 and 5 talking about? Is it physical healing? Oh, healing from cancer, healing from a lame leg, healing from deaf ears, or even healing from a COVID-19 virus? Is that what we're talking about? Because if that is the case, then all who are Christians and they are suffering COVID-19, well, we can ask the government, please subscribe to them, right, the bread and the cup, and after that they will get well. Right? Is that what it is talking about down here? I'd like to submit to you that the focus of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 5, is not physical healing, but it's actually spiritual healing. And how do we know this? Well, because if you observe the key words in verses 4 and 5, right, they are these. Right? Firstly, it talks about griefs, right? It talks about sorrows, right? How the Lord carries our griefs and sorrows. And what exactly are these griefs and sorrows? Well, these are griefs and sorrows that are caused by sin, right? Sin. Why is there sorrow in this world? Why is there sadness? Why is there so much turbulence in our hearts? Well, really, it is because of sin, isn't it? When God first created the world, right, he created the world good. And when he created man, man was the apex, the climax, the peak of his creation. And why is that so? Right, because man is created in the image of God. And he was created without sin. And so when man was created, God declared, it is not just good, but it is very good. Right, very good. But what happened? Well, man did not fulfill his part under the covenant of works. He ate of the forbidden fruit. And so therefore, sin came into the world. And when you realize that when sin came into the world, there comes in also pain and sorrow. Right? Sorrow. And so when the Bible here says, God bear our griefs and bear our sorrows, where do these griefs and sorrows come from? These griefs and sorrows came into the world because of what? Because of sin. And so this means that the Lord bore all our sins upon himself. He was afflicted, right? Because now he was the sin offering. He was now the sin bearer. And that when he was wounded for what? Well, the Bible says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. That's the key word. we have, when the Lord says, do not do this, we transgress against the Lord by crossing the line. And the Bible also says he was bruised for our iniquities. Ah, yes. Again, right? We have fallen short of the glory of God. And so, what was needed was somebody to come to be our representative, to suffer in our place. And suffer unto what? Suffer unto the extent whereby this representative have to die on our behalf, have to shed his precious blood on his behalf, so that there may be remission of our sins. And so, when we talk about Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 to 5, and this passage I oftentimes quoted with respect to the Lord's Supper, right, the focus chiefly and mainly should be regards to spiritual healing. And that is exactly what the world needs right now, isn't it? You know, the world right now is very focused on what? Very focused on physical healing. Because of the COVID-19 plague, everybody's mind is now very in tune to protect one's physical health. And rightly so. Rightly so. Right, we praise the government of the land for being very concerned about this. You know, we can easily have a government that is not concerned of all these things and just let the virus run amok. And some places they do have such governments, and in the end cause much trouble to the people. Well, at least we are thankful that there is this concern among our government to ensure the physical health of everyone. That is important. For Christians also, we should not risk our health unnecessarily. Even our health should be used for the glory of God. But now there's a lot of concern about all these things, right? So people take great care, or when you go out, keep safe distancing. Please do. Keep not only safe distancing, but secure distancing. Now people are staying at home because they do not want to spread the virus to anyone, and then when they go out, they will wear a mask. So that they not only protect themselves from contacting the virus from someone who may unintentionally spread the virus to them, but should they also be a carrier, they will also protect themselves from the other person, or rather to protect the other person, so that they will not transmit to them, that person. So a lot of concern about physical health. And the worst thing is, so far, this COVID-19, this novel coronavirus, does not have a vaccine. And so there is now a rush, firstly, to find quicker and quicker ways to test the virus, quicker and cheaper ways to test for the virus. And not only just that, but to also find a cure for the virus. So a lot of concerns are out there in the world, and people are standing by on the television sets hoping that this good news will come. They're also standing by the television on their handphone, on their mobile phones, looking at the numbers receding, whether it will rise or it will drop. A lot of concerns about physical health. But actually, what should be the chief concern of the world today? It should be beyond just physical health, but spiritual health. And the Bible tells us that the big problem that all of us have because of the fall of man is that we are all born spiritually dead. We are all spiritually blind. And by being spiritually dead, spiritually blind, we cannot understand spiritual things. We are always in rebellion against God. All our ways are an affront to Him. All our ways are stained by sin, wicked, evil. And if any man continues in this state, though he may be in the pink of health for a while, yet when his time comes, to end, right, in this world. What awaits him is eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. And that is bad news. That is bad news. And so here comes the Lord. And the Lord comes as this representative, as the second Adam, 100% man, 100% God. And though he knew no sin, right, as 100% God, he knew no sin. There was no sin in him. He is without blemish. Yet he was the one who took upon him all these stripes, all this suffering. And like a lamb led to a slaughter, right, he quietly endured all these things. And he was crucified. And he shed his precious blood at Calvary. Yes, he shed his precious blood at Calvary. For what? For all of us, so that all of us may have this spiritual healing. And so therefore, because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done, Friday is no longer bad Friday. Friday now is Good Friday. Sometimes people mention TGIF. Do you all know what is TGIF? Well, TGIF is Thank God It's Friday. And people say that because in a 5-day work week, of course, if you're a 6-day work week, too bad for you. But if you have a 5-day work week, people say Thank God It's Friday because the week of work is finally come to an end. Over the weekend, they pray that they can have a good time of rest and enjoyment. But for Christian, TGIF should actually be what? Thank God for the Friday whereby our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for our sins, so that we may have what? So that we may have this spiritual healing, so that we may no longer be spiritually dead, we may no longer be spiritually blind, but now, having understood the gospel, having understood what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us, having repented of our sins and believe in the death, and not just our death, but soon, right, we will commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we believe in all these things sincerely in our hearts. We now have this eternal life. Now we are no longer spiritually dead. We are no longer spiritually blind. But we are here spiritually, and now we can see. Now we are spiritually alive. That is how the Lord heals us first of all. He heals our soul. He saved our souls. And that is why also it's good that when we minister to those who do not know the Lord, and especially if they are willing to give us an audience, right, we should preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Always understand that that the first thing that we should save is always what? Always save the soul, then the body. Because as we will soon see, when you save the soul, the body will also be saved. When you try to save the body, not only will you lose the soul, but in the end, how? The body will ultimately still be lost. Right? The body will ultimately still be lost. Because when we talk about healing, right, that by the stripes we are healed, By the Christ stripes we are healed. Firstly, right, it talks about spiritual healing. And after that, what? Does it involve physical healing? Yes, it does. It does involve physical healing. But the question is, when this involves physical healing, when does this physical healing occur? Are we talking about physical healing in this world, or are we talking about physical healing that will come later into the future? And you will realize that if you study the scriptures, that when it comes to this healing, it refers to what? It refers to how finally, at the consummation of our salvation, we will be given a body that is glorified. And God willing, when we come to this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, right, we will talk a little bit more about it. there would be this physical healing. A body that, you know, has no longer any more aches and pains. Definitely no COVID-19. No COVID-19 in the world to come. No circuit breaker measures needed. That is the physical healing that we will see in also in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, why there is this physical element also? Because you must understand that when man sinned, not only was there spiritual death, but remember that with the fall of man, there also came certain consequences upon the world. And what are some of these consequences that came upon the world? Well, now there is corruption. So that's why our body is now corrupting. Now there are thorns and thistles. That is why when we eat durian, there is so much trouble. Right? How wonderful it would be if those of you who like durian, right, the durian is so easily taken apart. Of course, I know some of you don't like durian, but there will also be other fruits that you like that has quite a bit of thistles, and then you have to find some way of assessing that fruit, right? Well, whenever you see thorns, why thorns? Well, because of the sin of man. And why is there physical death in this world? Well, also because of the sin of man. So yes, wherever we have aches and pains in the body, now it is a reminder of what? Yes, actually a reminder of the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's also a reminder of our sin. Yes, of course, please do not come to the conclusion that when we suffer from any illnesses, it is because a person has sinned. Please don't come to that conclusion. I believe in many of the sermons before, we have spoken about this, right? There are cases in the Bible whereby godly men, they were afflicted by illnesses, and the Lord permit it so that their faith may be strengthened, or the Lord allow it to pass so that at the appropriate time, when the person testifies for the Lord may get all the glory. Okay, so please understand this. Of course, there can also be illnesses that are given because we have sinned against the Lord and the Lord wishes to chastise us. Right? There can be situations like this. But not every sin that is permitted, not every illness that is permitted in our life is because we have sinned against the Lord. Because we have committed something that was not right, and then the Lord wanted to chastise us. Not every situation is like this. But also do understand that in the bigger picture, the fact that there is illness, there is disease in the world, right, is because of what? It's because of sin. And so if you say that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has come, right, to heal us spiritually, what logically must follow also is physical healing. But physical healing when? Well, this physical healing will not be one that is completed in this life, because we know that no matter how the doctor will help with regards to our lives, even if you have COVID-19 and then the doctor helps you and gives you some treatment that in the end proves effective to help you to overcome it, in the end it's just about something that is temporal. And unless you are part of the blessed generation where there will be the rapture, all of us will surely one day have to experience the grave. So when we talk about physical healing, is it during this time? No, please understand this. And so churches shouldn't be talking about, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the sense that, oh, it can grant us immediate healing. And especially, you know, partaking of the Lord's Supper and then to have immediate healing, and then after that, what? Oh, that is what the gospel is all about. No. No, please no. If you want to talk about physical healing with respect to Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 5, it has to do with that ultimate healing that will take place in the future. whereby our salvation is fully consummated. And down there, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more worry. Right? Please understand this when we look at this particular passage in Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 to 5. And we can have all these things because of what? Because the Savior who comes to heal died on the cross for our sins. And that is why it is Good Friday. And that is why this passage is also offered times bread when we have the Lord's Supper. Right? Because when we have the Lord's Supper, we commemorate, right? We do show forth, right? We do witness to one another, firstly to ourselves and also to one another, but also to the entire world, right? About the Lord's death till He comes. And with the Lord's death, and of course His resurrection, comes what? Right? Comes this healing. Right? Comes this healing. A healing which no doctor in this world can give, right? But only the Lord can give. And when we come, and then when we eat of the at the Lord's table, right, it's a time of communion with our Lord, whereby we remember this truth. When the bread is broken, we want to remember how the Lord body was broken for our sake. When we drink of the cup, we want to remember how Christ's blood was shed, right? We want to remember the New Testament in the Lord's blood. And when we do so with that good understanding and with the right spirit, because it is a sacrament, the Lord will appropriate His spiritual blessings upon us in our life. Right? Because when we do so in faith, when we have this communion with our Lord, surely there will be this strengthening of our faith, isn't it? A strengthening of our faith. Oh yes, this is what the Lord has done for me. And so therefore, in this world, I must live for His glory. Oh, Lord, You have been so good to me. And now that I've experienced Thy love, and I better understand this greatness of this love which You have shown to me, I too also must live a life whereby I love You with all my heart, soul, mind and strength. And so therefore, if there ever come upon a time whereby this circuit breaker is extended, and then we have to find a certain way whereby we can partake of the Lord's Supper, I pray that all of you individually in your homes will understand this. What I believe certain churches has done is that the head of the home, or let's say in the absence of where the head of the home is not one who is physically able to do it, then at least somebody who is physically able, right, will prepare the bread and the cup. So prepare the elements, the bread. And with regards to the bread, I do recommend that if it's possible, that you all should try to find something that is unleavened. And why so? Right? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, allow me to direct you there. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 7 to 8. Right. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, especially in verse 8, when he says, let us keep the feast. Which feast? You cannot just be referring to the Passover of the Old Testament, right? This feast must be the New Testament Passover. And what's the New Testament Passover? A New Testament Passover would be with regards to the Lord's Supper. Now, of course, right, if you look carefully at verses 7 and 8, right, what he's trying to teach down here is regards to the attitude of the person when he approached the Lord's Supper. I should not do it so with a heart that is not broken and contrite, one that is rebellious, right, but one that truly comes to seek the cleansing of the Lord. But when we break the bread, remember how what Christ was our Passover. As the Passover lamb, he was sacrificed for us. And of course, at the Passover, what was eaten was what? Was unleavened bread. Right? That's what is stated down here. So it's good, you know, if I would like to recommend this, right? That if you can, find unleavened bread. But of course, if you cannot, it does not matter, because unleavened bread, whether leavened or unleavened, is not a requirement for this, right, for the Lord's Supper. But please, if possible, I would like to recommend that you all try to find. And it shouldn't be too difficult, at least for now, but we never know, right? With the times to come. So if you find it difficult to find, yes, any bread that is ready to be broken. And of course, when it comes to the cup, it's something of the grape, right? So grape juice. Trying to find it. Essence of grape juice, maybe Ribena, and then well, we can partake. But more, but also importantly, is whoever is present, and if you are doing it as a family that is believing, that the head of the house should take very careful care to make sure that all who eat of it, and please make sure that those who eat of it, firstly, they are believers, and secondly, they are baptized of water. Only those who are baptized of water should be eating it, because when you look at the Old Testament, only those who are circumcised, they are allowed to eat of the Passover. So only those who have made this profession of faith, right, openly, baptism of water, they should be partaking of the Lord's Supper. Then eat with understanding, because, and this is very, very important, because if we don't, then please remember the warning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And that's why in Tabernacle we want to be very, very careful before we do all these things. I want to be very, very careful. And right now Circuit Breaker ends at May the 4th. Well, we are observing and seeing how things proceed. But nevertheless, even though we cannot have the Lord's Supper physically together at this time, there is no reason why we cannot ponder upon our Lord's death. And so I pray that today, as we come and as we have looked at Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 to 5, our understanding of what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross will be strengthened. And not only just that, we pray that the next time, if the Lord does grant us the opportunity to have the Lord's Supper, let us be ever so grateful for the opportunity to do so. Grasp every opportunity with relish, and to also make sure that we observe it in the right spirit and the right attitude. It is the Lord's means of grace for us. And now that there is this silence, now let this silence speak louder than words. And if this silence can speak louder than words in our hearts concerning this, then this Good Friday service that we have today will not be one that is in vain. Let us always remember what the healing Savior has done for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we are so thankful for this opportunity to remember the Lord's death till He comes. And so, Father, we pray that while we are not able to have our services as usual, where we meet with our brethren, yet our hearts for Thee will not grow dim in love. And because the Lord has done so much for us, O Lord, we truly owe everything that we have to Thee. So may we live this only life that we have on this earth, all for Thy glory and for thy name's sake. Hear our humble cry as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.